Naked Portrait, a memoir of Lucian Freud, written and read by Rose Boyd. To my parents, with love and gratitude. Chapter 1. Nothing had been discussed. I just assumed I would be naked. I got undressed and asked him what he'd like me to do. He said it was up to me. I lay down on the sofa and shielded my eyes, the big ceiling lights in the studio working on full power. I lay down, but I didn't want to look obedient in my portrait. I didn't feel obedient. I wanted my father to paint me, but not like the others. There was some kind of battle going on, unacknowledged but expressed in the muscles of my bent leg. I was alert, prepared to spring up at any moment. I asked him not to paint in my hairy legs. He said it was not like that. We talked about makeup. He didn't like to paint it, but I was not going to take off my mascara. In the end, he decided it was part of me. That was a small victory. I wanted to know if he was happy with the pose. He thought it was spectacular, but showed some concern. I'm not sure whether he was worried about my ability to keep going until the end of the painting, with so much tension in my body, or if he was uneasy about the level of exposure I'd unwittingly chosen to inflict on myself. I was unaware of how much he could see from his vantage point. I think I understand now he wanted my permission to use what he could see, to shift the responsibility onto me and take advantage of my generosity, even if I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know what he was asking for. I was shocked when I looked at the canvas and saw what he saw. This was a night picture. I sat 3 or 4 times a week, starting when it got dark, often until dawn. We were collaborators, but he always wanted to work way longer than I wanted to work. I didn't know how to make him stop, how to stick up for myself. He groaned in disappointment if I needed a stretch or to go to the bathroom. The urgency of his resolve, a trial of my courage. After a long session, I didn't always go home. I slept in the studio if I was aching, wide awake but too tired to get up off the sofa. He chucked a blanket over me and gave me a big glass of port to knock me out, for which I was grateful. I started at Central School of Art a few months into the painting, on the foundation course, and after a couple of hours I'd have to get up and go in. Sometimes he offered me one of the little blue pills that he kept in his bathroom cupboard, next to the bottle of Mandrax, prescription drugs he obtained from his doctor to help him work harder, and unwind at bedtime if he was too wired to stop. He told me the blue ones were called Purple Hearts, and that they'd been used by fighter pilots during the war to keep going on overnight missions, associating himself in my mind with those heroes who'd dropped bombs on Nazi Germany, the home from which he'd fled with his family when he was 9. He worked heroically, and I wanted to be like him. The pills woke me up and ruined my appetite. I went to art school in his shirts, his old jackets. It upset me when the picture went badly, and he stabbed himself in the leg with the end of his paintbrush. I just had to lie there while he shouted and hurt himself. When it went well, he conjured a marvellous excitement under the bright lights. All the stories he told me, his escapades with aristocrats and villains in London, of his nurse, and the legendary glimpse of Hitler in Berlin before he came over, the songs he sang to keep me entertained. He knew by heart Hilaire Belloc's Cautionary Tales, Prufrock, and Shakespeare's best sonnet, My Mistress's Eyes Are Nothing Like the Sun, a poem he recited so many times it stuck in my head and is still there to sustain me when I need to sleep and I can't sleep.